All right, Shavuot, say good morning, a good chodesh. Let's begin. Today's daf is Ayin Aleph 71. We are picking up on Ayin Amud Beis 70b, and we are picking up in Meretz Hashem by Tanya. It is 2, 4, 6, 8 lines up from the bottom, 70b. Tanya, Amar Rabbi Yonah. Namti lo leben Azai. I had asked Ben Azai the following question. Lemadnu, we learned nevelas behema tahura shematame. Suppose we learned that the nevela, the carcass of a behema tahura, of a kosher animal which dies without shechita, conveys tuma. Unevelas behema tmeya shematame. We also know that the nevela, the carcass of a non-kosher animal, if it dies, also transmits tuma. Nevela chaya tmeya. Shematama, right? From where do we know that the nevela of a chayer? Let's remember again, the behema represents a domesticated animal, chayer represents a non-domesticated animal. So halacha lemaisa again, is that today?
Yesterday,
I think, right?
Cool. It was yesterday.
Perfect. Thank you. Good. Thank you. Good. So how do I know about the nevela chayer? So let's remember again. A behemoth is a domestic animal, domesticated animal. Chaya is a non-domesticated animal. So from where do I know that the nevela of a chaya, tmeya, non-kosher chaya, from where do I know that conveys tuma? Or nevela's chaya tahora, lo lamadnu. I'm sorry, nevela's chaya tahora, lo lamadnu. Minayin. So I say, from where do I know these halachas? Namli. So he answered me. Kol holich al kapov. B'chol ha'chaya ha'holechas. So let's remember again, just so we keep track of what the conversation over here is, this is Rabbi Yonasan asked to Ben Azai. Ben Azai now responds, namely, he responded to me, kol holich al kapav b'chol ha'chaya ha'holechas. So we'll say, he quotes this pasuk, everything that walks on its paws, in every chaya that walks. Namti lo, I responded to him, v'chi ne'emar b'chol chaya, does it say b'chol chaya, v'alo lo ne'emar ela, Bichol hachaya, lemahalchei kapayim bechaya hu da'asa. So said to which he responded. Remember again that pasuk is used for the drasha we mentioned yesterday, namely that halacha lemaisa is actually referring to bichol hachaya an uber inside of its mother. Namely, he responded back to me, umay Yishmael omer b'davar hazeh. So he asked me. Ben Azai asked me. He said, "Tell me, what does Rabbi Yishmael say about this topic?" Namtila, I responded to him. When the pasuk says, if an animal will die, zu behema tmeya, this refers ultimately to a non-kosher animal, that its nevela conveys tuma, asher hi lachem la'achla, that is permitted to be consumed by you, zu behema Torah. That teaches me that the halachos of tumas nevela apply to a kosher animal. La'madnu, what do we learn from this? We learn chaya b'chla behema, or behema b'chla chaya. So what we learn from this is that behemos, right? A chayo is included in the category of behema, at least for nevela purposes. And a behema is included in the category of chayo, again, at least for nevela purposes. Chayo tor bichla behema tora. Chayo tmeh bichla behema tmeh. We learn from here that a kosher chayo is included in the category of a kosher behema. And a non-kosher chayo is included in the category of a non-kosher behema. Ayin aleph amad aleph. Behema tmeya bichla chaya tmeya. A behema tmeya is included in the category of a chaya tmeya. Behema tahora bichla chaya tahora. Ultimately, again, a behema tahora is included in the category of a chaya tahora. Ubalashon hazeh amrali, and Ben Azai responded to me and he said, Chaval al Ben Azai shaloshimesh es Rabbi Yishmael. So talking about himself, he said, woe to Ben Azai, referring to himself, woe to me, that I didn't have the opportunity to go ahead and serve and learn under Rabbi Yishmael. In other words, once he heard the clear elucidation of Rabbi Yishmael, he lamented the fact that he did not have the opportunity to learn under Rabbi Yishmael. Beautiful. So we'll say, now we're going to analyze this a little bit more. Chaya bichla behema minala. So we'll say, so remember again, from where do we learn this concept that a chaya is included in the category of a behema? Where do we know this from? Dichsiv, because the pasuk says, Zos ha-behema asher tochilu. This is the animal that you shall eat. Shor, that means talking about kosher animals. Shor, sek, savim. And then what does it say towards the end of the pasuk? Ayil utzvi vayachmar. So what was that? Interestingly enough, the pasuk begins by talking about this is the behemoth that you are permitted to eat, and then it includes things like an ayal and a tzvi, right? Like the deer. So what was that? So remember again, the deer, right? This is a chaya. The deer is not a behemoth; it's a chaya. So hakis. So what was that? If the pasuk is talking about a behemoth, then why does it include chayas? What do you learn from here? Chaya bichlal behema. Rebbe said, what you learn from here is that halacha l'maisa a chaya is in fact included in the klal of a behema. Behema bichlal chaya minolan. So we'll say, from where do we know that a behema is included in the category of a chaya? So the Gemara says, dichsiv zos ha chaya asher tochlu. This is the chaya, the non-domestic animal that you are permitted to eat. And we'll say, what does it say? Mikola behima asher al haaretz, koma freses parsa. So we'll say, so again, the pasuk begins by saying, this is the chaya. And then what does it say? What kind of chaya are you permitted to eat? From any kind of behima that has split hooves and chews its cud. So once again, what do you see? What just happened over here? The Torah began with a discussion about behima, chaya, and then transitioned to behima. So what do you see from here? Hakezod, peyem bichlal chaya. So we'll say, what do you see from here? You see that behima ultimately, again, is included in the category of chaya. So the Gemara says, we'll say, so now that we've established that behima bichlal chaya, chaya bichlal behima, the next question which comes up is, for what purpose does this serve? What does this matter? So here we go. So chaya tohora bichlal behema tohora. So also when we say that a kosher chaya is included in the category of a kosher behema, the ramification of that is for simanim. So we'll say, so the same way that ultimately a behema tohora requires split hooves and chewing its cud in order to make it a kosher behema, a kosher chaya will require the same exact simanim. Chaya tmeya, bichla behema tmeya. So we'll say, so when we say that a chaya tmeya, non-kosher chaya, is included in the same category as a non-kosher behema. So what does that, we'll say, what's the ramification of that inclusion? Laharba. We'll say that harba means crossbreeding. Right, the same prohibitions of crossbreeding that ultimately, again, will apply to a behema tmeya will ultimately, again, apply to a chaya tmeya as well. Behema tmeya bechal chaya, bechal chaya tmeya. So we'll say, when we say that a behema tmeya is included in the same category as a chaya tmeya, so what does that have to do with? What's the ramification of that? L'chid Rebbe. We'll say this ultimately, again, is rooted in the sheet of Rebbe. What does Rebbe say? Disanya, Rebbe Omer, Rebbe says, Ekra ani chaya. Behema lama namra. So I should say, Akra ani chaya. So the pasuk includes chaya. Why does the pasuk have to make mention ultimately of behema? Ne'emra kan behema tmea, ve'ne'emra lahalan behema tmea. Rebose, it says over here behema tmea, and it says later on behema tmea as well. Rebose, now by the so ma lahalan to masko. They're supposed to say, the two psukim that the Torah is quoting over here is on nefesh asher siga b'chol davar tamei, o b'nivlas chaya tamei, o b'nivlas behema tamei, o b'nivlas sharas tamei, v'u tamei v'ashem. So we'll say, pasuk number one is talking about if a person has contact with an item that is tamei, they become tamei. Pasuk number two, we'll say, is talking about what? It's talking about a person who becomes tamei and eats of something kodesh, the liability he has, literally kares, right? If he does so intentionally, kares that's incurred as a result of that infraction. So watch this. So ne'emra kan behema tmeya. It says over here, ultimately again, by consumption, or I should say not by consumption, by contact with a tamei item, it says behema tmeya. And it says over there, ne'emra lahalon behema tmeya. We'll say, talking about if you ingest something that is tamei, and then go ahead and consume something sacrificial, that you will be chayiv kares. Ma lahalon tumas kodesh. We'll say, just like over there by the second pasuk, is talking about someone who is tamei, who eats something kodesh. So afkan tumas kodesh. So to over here in the first pasuk, it's referring to tumas kodesh as well. So the Gemara says, behema tohora, bechal chayiv tohora. So we'll say, interestingly enough, when we say that a kosher animal, a kosher behema, is included in the category of, or is included in the klal of a chay to a kosher to a kosher chaya, what is that coming to teach us? The yitzira. I suppose it's actually quite interesting. So yitzira, Bosei, literally means formation of the vlad, formation of the offspring. So this is actually an incredible halacha. This nan, Bosei, here we go. We're going to see this later on in Mesechas Nida. We'll actually spend a significant amount of time on sugyas like this. Listen to this. This nan. Hamapeles min behema. Chayevauf. Bein tohorin, bein temeyin. Bein temeyin, I'm sorry. Hamapeles min behema chayevauf. Bein temeyin, bein tohorin. So we'll say, if a woman goes ahead and miscarries, and in this situation, what she miscarries, her bosai, does not have the tsura, does not have the form of a human child, but instead has the form of a behema, a chaya, and an oaf. In other words, after she has the miscarriage, we examine the placenta, we find that there is that the fetus does not look like a human fetus. Instead, it looks like a behema, chayu, or an oaf. What's the halacha? Bein temein, bein tohorin, whether they are of a kosher species or a non-kosher species. Im zocher, teishev zocher. So we'll say, if the fetus has male characteristics, then I will say she observes the yemei tuma and yemei tara. Ultimately, again, for a boy. Remember, again, the Torah, Bosei, in Parashas Tazria, hands down two different halachos. If a woman gives birth to a girl, or if a woman gives birth to a boy, there are two different sets of Yimei Tuma and Yimei Tara. So the Mishnah seems to be saying as follows. If a woman miscarries, even if the fetus does not look human, but if you could tell if the fetus is a male or if the fetus is a female, ultimately, again, the woman will observe the Yimei Tumah and Yimei Tara after Leida for a boy or for a girl. Im Zachar Teshev L'Zachar, Im Nekeva Teshev L'Nekeva. Eino Yadua. We'll say what happens if the gender cannot be determined by looking at the fetus. Teshev L'Zachar U'L'Nekeva. And we'll say she observes both periods as if she has given birth to a boy and to a girl. Rashi says, so first of all, I'll say, look at Rashi for just a moment. So Rashi says, Teshev l'zachar, shivas yimei tumah, right? And v'teshev l'nekeva, shivu ayim temeim v'samach vav tumah. So also remember again, for a boy, ultimately, again, it's 7 days of tumah, 33 days of yimei toar. For a girl, it is 14 days of tumah, 66 days of yimei toar. If she's not sure, right? Eino yodua, Rashi says, Eino yodua, im zachar im nekeva, hetel alea chomer shnehem, v'teshev l'zachar u l'nekeva, shvu'ayim tumas leidas nekeva, v'afilo ina ra'a b'hem shema nekeva yalda, u'v'lo re'yeika shvu'ayim tumas leida, v'meitar inla ela adarim. So again, if you're not sure what the gender of the fetus is, essentially what we do is we impose the chumrus of both a zachar and a nekeva on her. That's Divrei Rabbi Meir. We'll say this is the position of Rabbi Meir. The Chachamim say, absolutely not. Kol she'eino mitzuras adam, eino vlad. And we'll say, the Chachamim have a different opinion. The Chachamim say, the only time that a woman has to experience yimei tumah and yimei toar is if the fetus that she miscarried ultimately, again, has human form. But if it does not have human form, there is no obligation for her to observe anything in the aftermath, ultimately, again, of that birth. Now, I will say, now what you do in terms of Hilchos, Nida with things like that, Hilchos, so we'll see that later on. The point that the Chachamim trying to make, Rabbi say, is that Halacha L'maisa, the normative laws of childbirth are only triggered by a human fetus. If something does not look human, then ultimately, again, it's not given the normative halachos of childbirth. So we'll say, so the sugya ends off by transitioning back a little bit. Ulrabanan haikra lamali. So we'll say, according to the Rabbanon, why do I need this pasuk? So we'll say, if you remember again, so now the Gemara is going back for just a moment. The Rabbanon who argued on Rabbi Yossi Haglili. So remember again, the Rabbanon in the Mishnah said that halacha l'maisa, if you have an animal that was pregnant and the fetus died in utero, and what happens? Someone reaches into the womb of the animal and touches the fetus. So the Rabbanon, the Tanakama, wanted to say that the fetus does not convey tumah. Whether the fetus ultimately, again, is of a behemah tameah, of a behemah tahora, it's not going to make any kind of difference. It will not convey tumah. Remember, Rabbi Yossi Haglili was the one who said, if it's a behemah tameah, then ultimately, again, the fetus will convey tumah. If it's a behemah tahora, the fetus will not convey tumah. So we'll say, now we're jumping back to that. Rabbanon, haikra lamali. According to the Rabbanan and Rabosai, so what do they need? The Pasuk of Rabbi Yossi Haglili. Remember again, Rabbi Yossi Haglili uses the Pasuk to create a drasha to support his position. But the Rabbanan obviously don't agree with Rabbi Yossi Haglili. So what do they do with his Pasuk? To which the Gemara says, Kulei l'chid Rabbi Huda Asa. Ultimately, again, says the Gemara, the Rabbanan will use the Pasuk ultimately to support the position of Rabbi. Rashi says over here, l'chid Rabbi Huda Asa, Chaya t'meya l'gufei, u'behema t'meya l'gzira shava. Fine, so we'll say, so the Rabbanan will ultimately use the Pasuk ultimately to support the position of Rabbi, as we previously espoused in yesterday's sugya. So we'll say, so just to close out this Mishnah before we begin the next, so how do we paskin? In this case of tumah and tara, what happens if the animal, right? The animal is pregnant, baby died, the fetus dies in utero. Does that fetus convey tumah in utero or not? So the Rambam will say paskins in Shar Avos HaTumah, Perek Beis Halacha Beis, the following halacha: Behema Shemes Ubra Besoch Me'eha. If you have an animal and the fetus died in utero, Vahoshet Haroa Es Yado V'Nagabo. And the shepherd inserts his hand, into the womb of the animal and touches the dead fetus. Bein bebehema tameya, bein bebehema tahora. Whether we're talking about a kosher animal, a non-kosher animal, hare zeh hanogea tahor ad sheyetzi hanefa la'avir ha'olam. Ultimately, again, a fetus in utero does not convey tumah. We paskin like the Rabbanan, like the Tanakama, whether the animal is a kosher animal, non-kosher animal, the dead fetus, while it's in the mother, does not convey tumah. Now, once the mother births the fetus, then the fetus will in fact have the status of what? Have the status of nevela, and will in fact convey tumah. But while it is in utero, it does not convey tumah. Good. We'll say, let's begin the next Mishnah. Ha'isha shemes v'lada b'soch me'ah. So we'll say now, we're transitioning to a similar case by people. A woman who is pregnant, and who unfortunately the fetus dies in utero. And what happens? Upashta chaya es yada v'nagabo ha'chaya. So v'nagabo, so we'll say, so similar case. In this case over here, the midwife inserts her hand into the mother and ends up touching the fetus. So we'll say, so what's the halacha? Ha'chaya t'meya tumas shiva. The chaya, the midwife, right, will be tamei. So we'll say, so the midwife will be tamei, and literally again, tumas shiva, we'll say, means a tumah for 7 days, which is what kind of tumah? Tumas meis. Right? So the midwife will be tamei, it will be tamei, tumas meis, for having touched the dead fetus. Va'isha tahora ad sheyetzi havlad. But I will say, but the woman, right, the mother, is going to be tahora until she gives birth. Once she gives birth, ultimately, again, she will be tamei. So the Gemara says as follows. Well, so let's analyze this. Amar Rabba, Kishim. So this is actually an incredible halacha. Even though the mother herself is carrying the now deceased fetus, she does not contract tumah until she births the fetus. Masha'enki, the midwife who touches the fetus in utero, will contract tumas meis upon contact with the fetus. So says the Gemara. Amar Rabba, Kishim shetuma belua ena metame, kach. Tara belua, kach tara belua eina matam. So this is actually quite interesting. So what do you see from this Mishnah? What you see from this Mishnah is what we call tuma belua does not convey tuma. Tuma belua means swallowed up tuma. Right? Swallowed tuma. We'll say, what's the case? What's an example of swallowed tuma? This exact situation. The mother is carrying a source of tuma inside of her. What's the source of tuma? Ultimately, again, it is the fetus that is now deceased. So she's carrying that tumah inside of her. It is swallowed up inside of her. But you see that what? That tumah inside of her does not convey tumah to her. It'll convey tumah to someone outside of her who touches it, but not to her. So Rabbi says as follows. The same way that swallowed up tumah does not convey tumah, so too something that is tahor cannot become tame. Something that is tar and swallowed up, we'll see examples of this, cannot become tame. So we'll say, let's analyze this. So tumah b'lua minalan. So we'll say, from where do we know that if something is tame and swallowed inside someone else, that it does not convey tumah? From where do we know that? Dichsiv va'ochal minevlasa yichabes begadav. So this is actually very interesting. So the pasuk says that if one goes ahead and consumes nevela, right? If one consumes nevela, so we'll say what happens? They become tame, right? They become tame. They have to immerse their clothing. But I will say, when do you become tahar? V'tame ad ha'erev. Ultimately, again, you become tame come nightfall. It's a relatively mild form of tumah that is remedied by mikvah and harav shemesh. So it's actually quite interesting. So we'll say, what's the case? Milo askinan da achal samach l'shkia sachama v'ka'am rachmana d'tar. We'll say now, this could even be referring to what kind of case. I eat nevela right before sunset. And I will say, yeah, what's the halacha? I eat nevela right before sunset. What's the halacha? I go to the mikvah, right, immediately, right? I eat my nevela burger, right? I run to the mikvah, sun goes down, and what happens? Shalom Yisrael, all is good. They will say, the incredible part about that is, where is that nevela burger sitting? It's in my stomach. Right? So meaning, this could all happen in such rapid succession that real digestion has not even occurred. Right? That nevela burger is mamish sitting in my stomach. And if I was very hungry, could even mean that I didn't even chew it all that much. So mamish, like, it's sitting inside of me. So what do you see from here? You see from here that tumah, right? Tumah could be sitting inside of you, but yet it does not convey tumah. So the Gemara says, but Dilma Shani Hasam, but maybe this is not a good example. Why? But Dilma Shani Hasam, the lochazi leger. So let's say maybe this is not a good example because once you ingest the nevela, it no longer transmits tumah. Why? Because it was like the pasuk by nevela says that you can give it leger asher b'sharecha, right? You can give it to the ger. So let's say, which tells us that what? Something only transmits tumas nevela if it's fit for consumption by a ger, by a non-Jew. I don't mean a convert. I mean like a Gentile, right? So ultimately, again, so maybe that's why. Meaning, once you ingest it, even though digestion hasn't occurred, of course, the halacha lemaisa again, because it's not fit for a ger, it no longer conveys tumah. To which the Gemara says, "Hanichal Rabbi Yochanan Damar Achas Zu VaAchas Zu Ad LeKelev Shapir." So we'll say, so this drasha makes sense. According to Rabbi Yochanan, who holds that halacha lemaisa, the nevela transmits tumah. Ultimately, again, all while it is fit for consumption by a dog, right? But if it's not fit for in that case, even once I ingest the nevela is still fit for consumption by a dog. And the chiddush is, even though I'm holding something in my stomach that is still quote unquote called nevela, it does not convey tumah because it's absorbed in front of me, inside of me. Says the Gemara, but even according to that opinion, who says that it has to be fit for a ger. So we'll say, even if, this is actually quite interesting, and you're positing that once I swallow it, it's no longer fit for the ger. We'll say, not necessarily. In other words, sometimes if you swallow something without chewing it a lot, so although if someone sees you regurgitate it, they're not going to want to eat it. But if no one sees you regurgitate it, and it's relatively whole, no one will know the difference. Again, the Gemara is not suggesting this. All the Gemara is trying to tell you is, you could have a case where you ingest the food, and technically speaking, it is still fit for human consumption. Right? In a case where you didn't chew it all that much, and no one saw you regurgitated. So I'll say, so the point over here the Gemara is making is, clearly you see, you could have a case where the nevela could still be fit for a ger, yet what? You can go to the mikvah, purify yourself, even though what? That nevela is sitting mamish in your belly. And even though it's still fit, technically speaking, it's fit for human consumption while it sits in your belly. What does that show you? What that shows is that halacha lemaisa wants something that is tameh, is swallowed up, it no longer conveys tumah, even if it is in a whole state. Ashkichon tumah b'lua tara. B'lua, excuse me, tara b'lua minal. So I'll say, now you just showed me From where we learn out that if something is tameh, is swallowed up, that it does not convey tumah. From where do I know that if something is tahor and swallowed up, that it cannot contract tumah? Where do I know that from? Here we go. Minalon. Kal v'chomer. Learn from the kal v'chomer. What's the kal v'chomer? Umak kli cheres, hamukov tzamed psil. So we'll say if you have a kli cheres that is sealed tight. Right? The opening of the kli cheres is sealed tight. She'eno matzil al ha'tumah shebesocho. So we'll say, interestingly enough, if you have an earthenware vessel, right, the kli cheres, and inside of that kli cheres, let's say, for example, is something tummy. You have a piece of a corpse inside that kli cheres, and the opening of the kli cheres is sealed shut. So the halach is, Rabbi say, tumah ola ubakas. Tumah shoots straight up, and it doesn't make a difference even if there's a covering on top of that tumah. So if you have something tummy inside of a kli cheres, even if it's sealed shut, the tumah still shoots straight up. So the Gemara says, "Umak kli cheres amukav tam psil she'eno matzil al ha'tumah shebesocho milamata milatame." Damar mar tuma ritzutza bokas va'ula adrakia. They will say tuma goes straight up even if it's in a contained vessel. They will say, you know, the greatest example of this we have is that what? Again, without getting into all the technicalities, when you bury a person in the ground, right, that tuma goes up. You could take certain steps to prevent that. But remember again, this has caused, right? Remember again, about once every 3 years, this comes up with the flight path of El Al, right? This comes up with, inevitably for Kohanim, with something flight path over cemeteries. A while ago, this was for flights that were going out of JFK over all the cemeteries in Queens. It's always because Tula's Omo Bakas. So once I see, if you have an earthenware vessel that is sealed shut, but it has a piece of a corpse inside of it, let's say that tumor shoots up straight up, even though you have a lid on that earthenware vessel. So the Gemara says, Vola Adrakia, yet Matzil al hatara shevesocho milatame. Yet Rabbi say, if you were to put something tahor inside of that same earthenware vessel, right, and you were to seal up that earthenware vessel, the halacha is even, right, that lid would protect something that is tahor inside of it from becoming tame. So ultimately, again, I will say, so what is that a case of? That's a case, ultimately, again, of something that is tar, quote-unquote, swallowed up, in this case, by the earthenware vessel. The closed earthenware vessel will prevent, ultimately, again, the tahor item from contracting any type of tumah. So the Gemara says, if that works by an earthenware vessel, so Adam, Amun Beis, Adam, shamatzil al tumah shebesocho milatame, a person, Rabbi Osai, who ultimately, again, prevents tumah, which is inside of him, from conveying tumah to other things. Eino din shematzil al para shebesocho milatame. All the more so, Rabbi Osai, he will prevent something that is tar inside of him from becoming tameh. So, Rabbi Osai, it's an interesting kavachomer. So, also, the Gemara saying over here is like this: an earthenware vessel, where if you have something swallowed up, so to speak, closed up, an earthenware vessel, where if you have a piece of tumah inside of it, even if the earthenware vessel is closed, that's being swallowed up by the earthenware vessel does not prevent the tumah from extending outwards. Yet, that same earthenware vessel, if you put something tahor inside of it, close up the vessel, even if you expose the earthenware vessel to tumah, the closing of the closed earthenware vessel prevents the tahor item inside of it from becoming tameh. Certainly a person, Abosai, a human being, where we just established that what? That if a human being swallows something that is tameh, so what happens? The fact that it's swallowed up inside of him, that tameh item cannot convey tumah to other things. All the more so, if there is something tahor inside of him, he prevents that tahor item from contracting tumah. An interesting kavachomer. To which the Gemara says, well, maybe the kavachomer is a bit flawed. Why? Malik licheres shekein in mitame migabo. I will say, here's the difference. A klicheres, you will say, why is it, by the way, let's take a step back. If you have a klicheres, and you have a tahor item inside of that klicheres, and you close the lid and you wrap it up. And then what happens? You take a piece of corpse, right? And you go ahead and you mamish, stick it to the side of the klicheres. So we'll say, what's talacha? The contents inside the klicheres remain tahar. The Rebbe said, now why is that? That's a technicality. Because kli cheres only becomes tamei, Rebbe said, where? On the inside. Right? Ultimately, again, on the inside. Kli cheres does not become tamei from the outside. Rebbe says, is a dramatic halacha by kli cheres. So the Gemara says, you want to make a kal vachomer from kli cheres to people, but they're not really analogous. Why not? Because malak kli cheres shem tamei gabo. Both say kli cheres can't become tamei from the outside. It only becomes tamei from the inside. Mashe'enkin, people can become tamei from the outside. Tomar ba'adam shem tamei mi gabo. It will say a person can become tamei from the outside. To which the Gemara says, but again, atu anon mi gabo kaminon, mitocho kaminon. But says, well, I understand that, but remember our whole conversation, Rabbi Osei, is about what? It's not about Tumantara on the outside. The whole conversation is about Tumantara on the inside. Remember again, we're talking about Tuma Bilua, Tara Bilua. We're talking about things that are swallowed and absorbed. So yes, it is an analogous conversation, because what we're talking about are the internal part of a person, or in this case, of a kli cheres, to either be able to transmit tuma or to shield from tuma. To which the Gemara says, "Adraba, kli cheres chamer." People say, "I could say that a kli cheres is even more chamer than a person." How so? Shekein mitame me'aviro. This is actually quite interesting. A kli cheres actually has the ability to be metame from its airspace. Now, as Rabbi say, this is actually quite interesting. If you take something that is tame, ultimately again, and you dangle it in the airspace of the kli cheres, even though what? There is absolutely no contact with the kli cheres becomes tame. Rabbi say, this is different than people. If, let's say, you were to take a piece of nevela and you were to dangle it in your mouth, right, without it touching any part of your mouth, so we'll say, so you're not tame, right? It's weird, but right, but I'm saying, but you're not tame. You haven't ingested anything. Treif, there's nothing with that. To which the Gemara says, ultimately, because right, people by human beings, you need mago. You need some type of ultimately. You need some type of contact. So we'll say, so therefore the Gemara says over here, in fact, the kli cheres is more chamor ultimately again than a person. So again, ultimately the Gemara says, here's the limud. So we'll say, so from here now, we've ultimately understood that halacha lemaisa, now we've established these two facts. That number one, tuma, which is absorbed inside of a person, does not convey tuma to others, right? And in certain respects, as we see from the Mishnah, even to the person himself, right? Even to the person himself. So remember again, I eat the nevela right before sunset. I run to the mikvah, sun goes down, I'm tar. Even though effectively what? There is nevela sitting in my stomach, right? Halacha lemaisa, if something is tahar, and ultimately again, quote unquote, swallowed or absorbed. So again, even if the utensil or the person becomes tameh, that tuma is not transmitted to the absorbed item inside the kli or inside the person. And I will say, standing my raise an interesting point. Ashkechan balua de lamala. So we'll say, I understand these halachos as something that is swallowed above. And I will say, swallowed above ultimately again means swallowed by mouth. Balua dilemata minalan. Rabbi say, what happens if something is swallowed from below? Right? So Rabbi say, so through the rectum, what happens again if something is swallowed from below? If something is inserted in the body from below, Rabbi say, what's the status of that item vis-a-vis tuma? So kabachomer, the more Islamic kabachomer, umma lemala, she'ino ose equal, matzil. Rabbi say, when ingested by mouth where digestion does not occur, ultimately, again, we're going to see what that statement means. Yet, again, halacha lemaisa is considered to be absorbed by the body, and therefore, again, does not transmit or receive tuma. Lemata sha'osi ikol eino din shematzil. All the Moser Rabbos say, if something is ingested from the bottom part of the body, where digestion does occur, ultimately, again, certainly it's considered to be absorbed, and therefore, halacha lemaisa does not go ahead and transmit or receive tuma. To which the Gemara says, what are you talking about? Klum ose iko lamata elamash ela al yidei mala. Says the Gemara, but 1 second, it's true that the majority of digestion occurs, what we'll call in the lower part of the body, but the digestion process cannot get started without what? Without being ingested normally. To which the Gemara says, Ella al yidei maila afilu, I'm sorry, Ella, we'll say, nevertheless, again, what the Gemara is saying over here is that the primary digestion occurs on the bottom of the body. And therefore, again, the Gemara, since he's saying on both sides, that these halachos are the same, whichever way these items are being ingested in the body, whether they're being ingested from above or from below, halach lamaisa, these same halachos, i.e., the item that is tame will not transmit tuma, and the item that is tahor will not receive tuma. Ashkichan balua ba'adadam. So we'll say now, we've established these halachos as they apply to something swallowed by a person. Balua de behema minalan. We'll say, from where do these halachos apply to something swallowed by a behema? So the Gemara says, kavachomer. It's kavachomer. What's the kavachomer? Uma adam shemetame mechayim matzel bibalua. So we'll say a person can become tameh even when he is alive. Right? Yet, again, what's the halacha? If he swallows something, again, if it's a tameh item, it doesn't transmit tumah. If it's a tar item, it retains its tara status even if the person becomes tameh. Behema, she'ina metameh mechayim, inodin she'tasel bevalua. So we'll say a behema, which does not become tameh when it is alive. So remember, again, a behema can only become tameh in death. A behema cannot go ahead and become tamei. Even though I will say, we call sometimes a non-kosher animal a behema tamea, that's what I will say really means not kosher. That does not mean in terms of tumantara. So an animal can only become tamei, ritually impure, ultimately upon death. So I will say, if a person who has a heightened level, he can become tamei during life and during death, yet is matzil bibalua, so a behema, which can only become tamei during death, certainly again, Eino din shetatzel bevalua. To which the Gemara says, but the comparison is a bit flawed. Malo adam shekein tzarek shir bebeis hamenuga. We'll say, interestingly enough, and we'll define what this means in just a moment, but people are different. Why? Because a person, I will say, if he enters into a house with tzaras, does not become instantaneously tamei, unless, of course, he waits around a little bit. Now we're going to define the scope of that in just a moment. To which the Rebbe will say, now, when we say tzarech shehiya, that means in order for his clothing to become tameh, his clothing does not become tameh instantaneously. The clothing that he's wearing only becomes tameh if what? If he remains, if he tarries in the house with tzaraas for a bit. We're going to define this in just a moment. Tomar bebehema sheino tzvicha shehiya bebayis. The Rebbe will say, a behema, on the other hand, does not require any tarrying in order to become tameh. What does this mean? To which the Gemara says, we'll say, what does this refer to? That a behema does not need tarrying in a home with tzaras in order to become tamei. What does this refer to? We'll say, it can refer to a behema, the behema itself. Why? Because the behema does not become afflicted with tumas tzaras. So we're referring to lemay hokasa lekelim sha'al gaba. And we'll say, what it means is as follows. That if a behema walks into a home, right, that has saras, then what happens, Rabbi Osai? The kelim, the utensils, which are on that behema, become tamei. The kelim which are on that animal become tamei. So the Gemara says, but one second, if that's the case, sounds like what it's saying is, they become tamei immediately, even without waiting, with no shoe, with no tarrying. To which the Gemara says, Adam nami lo bai. Both say, but that parallel case by Adam would be the same. After all, what did we learn? This none. Hanichnas labayis hamenuga. We'll say if a person walks into a house afflicted with tzaras, v'keilav al k'seifav v'sandalav v'taba osav biyadav. And we'll say what happens. He's holding his utensils on his shoulder. He's holding his sandals, his shoes, and his rings in his hand. And we'll say, what is he not doing? He's not wearing them. He's simply holding them. Hu v'heim temein miyad. Now we'll say, the person, and those items he is carrying become tamei immediately. Hayalavush kelev v'sandalav. Hayalavush kelev, if he was wearing his clothing, v'sandalav v'raglav, and his shoes were on his feet, v'taba osav be'etzbo, and his rings were on his fingers. So we'll say, what's talacha? Hu tamei miyad. His person, his body, becomes tamei immediately. V'hein tahorin ad sheyishe b'chdei achilas pras. And Abosai, his clothing that he's wearing, ultimately what? Ultimately, again, remain tahar until he tarries there were the amount of time that it takes to eat achilas pras. Now, we'll define this more. Before we define that, I also say, so the Gemara is suggesting over here is you're trying to say that an animal has a certain advantage or a certain difference than people. We're saying is it's not really true. If an animal walks into a house with tzaras and there's kelim on top of the animal, although the animal does not contract tumah, ultimately, again, the kelim on the animal do contract tumah. To which the Gemara says, the same halacha applies by people. Right? If you walk into a house and you're holding your shoes, you're holding your clothing, so you, your person, and those items you're carrying contract tuma immediately. It's only a din if you're wearing your clothing, that the clothing only contracts tuma when? If you tarry for a bit. How long is a bit? Bichdei achilas pras. The amount of time of us, it literally takes to eat half a loaf. How long is that? First of all, what type of loaf? Paschitim lepasorim, right? A loaf of wheat and not a loaf of barley. Mesav va'ocha b'lifton. And the amount of time it would take you to eat it while reclining and eating it with some type of relish. So Amar Rava, Rava says, Tarvayu tanini. In reality, we have learned both of these halachos already. Tuma b'lua tanina, tuma tahara b'lua tanina. We'll say, we have already learned these halachos. Namely, again, that swallowed tumah does not convey tumah, and something that is tar, that is swallowed, does not contract tumah. Where did we learn this? So tumah belua. So I'll say, where did we learn? Where did we learn tumah belua? This not bala tabas tamea. We'll say if a person swallowed a ring which was ritually impure. So we'll say a simple case: you have a ring. The ring came in contact with a corpse. The ring is now tame. I swallow that ring. We'll say what's talacha? Tovel, satsemakoi, I go to the mikvah, tovel va'ochel b'chumaso. I can go to the mikvah, and I can eat chuma. It will say, even though what? That ring is sitting inside of me. Yet, hikia, it will say, literally again, if it exits my body, this is if I throw it up, but it doesn't make a difference how it comes out. Once it comes out of my body, so tzmeya v'tamaso, the ring itself is still tame, and it will say, now I will become tame again. Why will I become tame again? Because when it exits my body, that's considered to be another contact with the ring, and I will become tame. But I will say, but for our purposes, what do you see? While that ring is in my body, what's the halacha? The halacha ultimately is it does not convey tuma for me. That shows you that tuma belua, swallow tuma, does not convey tuma. Tara belua, I will say, we'll finish with this. Tara belua tanina, we learned furthermore again that something that is tar and swallowed in the body does not contract tuma. Where do we learn this? Tisnan. Bala tabas Torah. We'll say reverse case. I swallow a ring which is totally tar. And then what happens? V'nichnas la'ol ha'meis. I enter in to a house where there's a corpse. And I'm under the same roof with the corpse. V'hi, and so I become tame. I undergo my purification process. V'hiza v'shana v'taval. V'ikia harehi kimasha haisa. Ultimately, again, I will say, what happens? I become tame, and again, I go through my whole purification process. Ultimately, again, and then the ring comes out of me after my purification process. I will say, what's the status of the ring? Tahar. So you see from here that what? Something that ultimately, again, is absorbed in the body, even if someone who is tame, ultimately, again, retains its tar status. Right? I will say, so once we have these two halachos, we'll see why the need for the repetition. The Meretz will continue tomorrow. Shkoyach.